latest in college esports from the students that play.
Go behind the scenes at the schools that game.
The only place where esports are
on campus.
Hey everybody, welcome to Checkpoint XP on campus, your number one resource for collegiate esports and the world beyond. I am your host, Norris Howard, alongside the wonderful people out at UNLV, Daniel Agbuya and Jacob Brothers. What's going on, guys?
How's it going there?
What's gaming, gamers?
Yeah, so listen, speaking of what's gaming, we had two big drops today that are not necessarily esports tournament results, but they will make some seismic waves in the world of video games. First, we're going to start off with Valorant. Now, if you haven't heard about Valorant yet, please remove the rock that your head has been stuck under for the past few days and listen up to this update, because Valorant is a tactical shooter in the same vein as CSGO, but it also combines some abilities in the same vein as Overwatch. Now, this game is coming from Riot Games, the makers of League of Legends, so we know an esports pedigree is coming with this game. Guys, have you seen this? Have you seen the gameplay? How are you feeling about this? Let me know what your first reactions to this are.
Jacob, as a resident CSGO fan, I want to know your thoughts first.
I've been eyeing this story from the moment that it was announced, and then when the article dropped, the morning it dropped, I was like, well, let me sit here and do nothing but read this article, and I cannot wait. It is very CSGO, pretty much no Overwatch. Basically, the abilities are like a step above, like, Siege.
Yeah.
All of the abilities have, they have tactical, influence. So it's like, this is basically an incendiary, or this is basically a smoke grenade.
You got your pings to see your enemies.
Yeah, you can like see through walls, one of them can shoot through walls, one of them can res. So a lot of these abilities are pretty nuts, so they might go with the angle of like, if everyone's really strong, maybe no one's too strong. You know, and the fact that everyone can use the guns, it's awesome. It has the same exact Counter-Strike structure. It has the two sites where you're planting the explosive. It'll have the weapons that everyone can use. It has a shop system, so you can have economic rounds. Mm-hmm. You can pick up someone else's gun to save for a different round. Mm-hmm. So a lot of that strategy is already in there. You have what are your thoughts?
So one, when I first saw the footage, I was like, whoa, this looks like a version of CSGO I would actually play, because it looks solid. I like the aesthetic.
You have to buy one of the abilities, which is nice as well.
Yeah. Also, I was looking this up here. Free to play, because it's Riot, and that's how they get you. That's how they're going to get you, guys.
And they're approaching it in a way where it's not going to be overwhelming, because it's just 12 characters and 4 maps to start. And they said they did that very intentional, so that way like everyone can wrap their head around what's in front of them, and then more stuff will roll out over time.
As someone who's kind of like unfamiliar with that scene, that I really appreciated that, because I want to get into like that type of tactical like esports. So this looks like be the perfect jumping on point for me.
Well, what's great about this game is that it's going to be straightforward, right? You buy your guns, you shoot the people, you plant the explosive. Like, that's it. But then the more crazy stuff comes from, like, oh, if you throw this grenade in this angle, it will land in this specific room of the map. And that stuff's going to come over time, but also you don't need to know that. And we'll have a ranking system that makes sense, which Counter-Strike could never imagine. It's like, I'm global elite and I'm Nova. I don't know what that means. Now, that's how I read Counter-Strike ranks. Okay. Yeah. And so when you can go from like bronze to silver to gold to masters or whatever, it's going to actually make sense.
So I know it's Riot. Let me ask you, Jacob, how hard do you think the microtransactions are going to be?
How? What was the question?
The microtransactions.
Oh, this game, I'm so confident in these microtransactions, because you can already see in the gameplay that they have knives, and that's literally all they need to fund their game.
they're going to fund their game on knives.
They can release the red knife, the green knife, and the pretty knife.
I want the pretty knife.
That alone is going to fuel them, because this is one of the few companies that actually trust the microtransactions. So it'll be like, here's the gun with the cool skin, I'll buy it. Here's the awesome knife with the pretty skin, and I'll buy it. So money-wise, they're going to be A-okay.
Mm-hmm. And let me just say, like, seeing what they're doing with a tactical shooter, I'm so excited for Riot's fighting game. You have no idea.
As long as Nara's there. As long as we get Nara.
Yeah, no, listen, I think you bring up a really, really interesting point with that one, Daniel, is Riot is making some very specific moves into these sort of gaps in the esports realm. CSGO is really huge, but they're just now really making sense of that scene. And we all know the ills of the fighting game community in terms of how it's funded and how much money it can actually bring in. So Riot is making a really, really sort of deliberate foray into the tactical shooter realm. So but I want to ask you guys one last question about Valorant, is that how do you think this affects the esports scene in college? Do you see this being accepted widespread on the college level, or do you think it'll be more of a slow burn like some other esports have been?
I honestly do expect this to be accepted very quickly in the college esports scene.
It's going to be accepted on the same level as Siege. Because Siege, because some schools are like, they're shooting guns, do we want that? And that's going to be the debate that they have with Valorant. See, with Counter-Strike, it has all of those themes that schools particularly don't want to touch. And that's not the game's fault. The game is Counter-Strike.
Yeah.
Like, that's what it's made to be. So this game is just going to have those themes. It's going to have the game mechanics, but without those themes that schools don't want to touch.
Yeah, and it's going to have a different aesthetic. It's going to be more of a sci-fi. It's closer to Overwatch than it is to Counter-Strike Go, in terms of aesthetic, to me.
Right, because like when I look at the gameplay, it's like, hey, we're putting down this thing that is the bomb, but it's like this like fantasy spike that's going to go off. Yeah, so like that's going to have a different connotation that schools will be more open to.
You're firing off like a multicolored wall of like what it looks to be like energy.
It's like smoke and stuff.
It's smoke, yeah.
Yeah, so I think it'll be more widely accepted, but it's not going to be, probably not as easily accepted as like League. It'll be accepted like Siege. I'm pretty confident in that.
That's not the only big story that came out in the world of gaming. We also got the demo drop for the Final Fantasy VII Remake. I know this is not esports, but we're talking about one of the biggest games in the history of video games. I got a chance to play most of this demo out at E3 last year, but this is even more than I got a chance to play even out there. Guys, have you got your hands on this demo? What are your expectations of this? I'm over the moon. I can't wait for next month for this game to come out.
Is it April yet? Because that demo, I knew I was going to love Final Fantasy VII Remake. I didn't know how much I was going to love it, because just the gameplay alone just made me, this is what Kingdom Hearts 3 should have been.
Oh,
I'm going
to. It's very true. So I'll give my opinion, because I have no nostalgia for Final Fantasy.
You were born the same year.
I was born the same year as Final Fantasy VII, but I also could have played it in my life, but I don't like that style of game where it's like turn-based, but you can't take your turn. Stupid. But so when they were like, hey, we're changing how the game works to play like Kingdom Hearts, it's like, oh, that sounds awesome, because I want to know this world and I want to know these characters. And so then you play it, and it's like, hey, this is Kingdom Hearts, but you stop combat to do like the moves and your limit break and that whole thing, and it's awesome. So it plays great. Swapping between characters is so easy, and if you don't want to swap the characters, you can just tell them the commands you want them to use. So if you want to only play as Cloud, you can. And that's awesome.
And as a guy who did grow up playing the game, I've never seen Midgar so alive. Like, the
Well, you'd hope so. If they're only going up to Midgar for the first game, it better be alive.
But the fact is, like, when I look at this game and then I compare it to the original 1987 title, I look at the characters and how they're just so fleshed out. You see, you hear the voices and you think, like, oh, this is how I heard them when I was a kid, even though there was no voice acting back in the day. So
you don't miss Cloud's arms?
Clearly, he's been skipping upper arm day.
Yeah, I think they should have given him the original model arms just in today's graphics, and then we would have had actual Cloud.
Watch that be a DLC thing like they did with Resident Evil 2.
That would be a dream.
That would be.
But very good. Definitely play the demo.
That would be awesome. No, and I think that's a really good point that you bring up, Jacob, that there's a whole group of folks that have not experienced Final Fantasy VII in its original form, and this is going to be their first foray into that world. And by making it more of an action RPG, I think that was a very deliberate, very, very intelligent way to go about it. But as you guys know, I could talk about Final Fantasy all day long, but we got a lot more show coming up, so stick around. We're going to be talking about a brand new Overwatch tournament coming up, and we're also going to be talking a little bit about International Women's Day. It's Women's History Month, so we're going to be talking a little bit about that later on in the show as well. So make sure you stick around for more Checkpoint XP on Campus.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Hey, this is Joe from Checkpoint XP, and this is your eSports Quick Hit.
Out of the loop? Here's your Checkpoint XP eSports Quick Hit. Quick Hit.
Okay.
Quick Hit.
When does a season need an asterisk on it? Normally, people make outlandish claims like that after a blown call by a referee or a devastating injury. However, the eSports scene as a whole is having to ask that question in the wake of coronavirus. The growing pandemic has impacted virtually every eSport at this point. In the future, is anyone going to look back on the 2020 year in eSports and not think about it as the year that got ruined by coronavirus? If you ask me, the asterisk is already there. That's your eSports Quick Hit. For more, go to CheckpointXP.com.
Need to stay up to date.
I need that.
Head to CheckpointXP.com for the latest in eSports and gaming news.
Welcome back to Checkpoint XP on Campus, your number one resource for collegiate esports. And listen, if you are on a college campus right now and you are involved with your esports scene on that campus, let us know. Shoot us a DM on Twitter, or you could go to our website, checkpointxp.com, where you can find the on-campus tab, where we have a ton of stories done, you know, by our wonderful, wonderful staff, opinions, as well as past episodes. So make sure you guys head on over to checkpointxp.com and let us know what's going on your campus. Now, I'm going to throw it back to the UNLV desk, where we are going to be talking a little bit about Torque Esports and their new Overwatch tournament. This is very interesting considering that Overwatch is not a game that often gets to be run by third-party organizers. So guys, what's going on with this new tournament?
So what's going on is that Torque Esports is teaming up with UMG Media. They bring us the collegiate of, let me give it the proper phrasing here. UMG's Overwatch Collegiate Clash.
Of course.
I like that name, first of all. I like the alliteration. So what we're looking at is an 8-week series starting this late March, starting soon, where we're going to have 8 teams every week compete for a total prize pool of, $40,000.
That's okay.
That's not...
I'm kidding.
That's okay. Where are you? What are you? Okay, never mind. I'm not going to get this right here. So, yeah, we're going to have 8-week series, 8 teams every week, and it's going to accumulate to a winner's final. And, yeah, guys, they actually got permission from Activision and Blizzard to actually run this thing. That's actually pretty surprising.
Well, I mean, it's probably for the best. Mm-hmm. If we look at the varsity series, probably for the best.
Mm-hmm. And here's what's great about this also is... You know, it's going to be all of it will be broadcasted on twitch.tv/UMGGaming.
That is mind-blowing. You're telling me that one of the biggest esports has college people playing it, and it's going to be streamed for everyone to watch all the matches.
Yes.
You can watch the school, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
So, yeah, as far as I can tell, it is going to be invitational, so obviously we're going to see some big names there. So let's expect to see Maryville. Let's see, you know, Harrisburg. There might be some surprises there.
Well, it's important that it's an invitational because also the varsity series is going on. So it's good that these schools can kind of... It's kind of like practicing over here to play over here.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like how some certain teams do for the Olympics or certain athletes. Mm-hmm. So that is kind of cool. I'm looking forward to it.
Do you see this as a trend? Like we're going to see more of like these like one-shot tournaments or these... offshoot tournaments?
A part of me says I hope not, because
really?
We already discussed like way back that if we take the direction of conferences having their own events, it just makes life easier for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of here's varsity series, here's this collegiate clash, here's all these really long names for all these different tournaments that you don't know who's going where.
Mm.
And so it still needs to be under one roof, in my opinion.
Mm.
But it is cool that a third party can do this without much of a hassle from what it looks like from the outside.
Okay.
Yeah, and I also want to throw it out there that you guys said it's an invitational, so that is really going to dictate, you know, how many eyeballs get onto this thing, and I think that's smart, because if you just start off with, you know, a certain number of teams from a certain number of conferences, you do run the risk of not getting a lot of viewership in your tournament. So by making it an invitational, you can try to maximize the eyeballs on this. And, you know, Jacob, you said it in jest, but I think we can't undersell the fact that the ease of being able to watch every match is very important at the college scene, because the infrastructure continues to sort of lack when it comes to college esports, especially when you compare it to pro sports, pro esports. So I think that this is going to make the ability to follow this tournament a lot easier, not just for us in the media, but also for fans of these particular colleges, because you got, you know, schools like Maryville, you got schools like Harrisburg, you know, Texas, Missouri, a ton of really big schools that you just don't know when to watch them because the schedule is so irregular.
And can be a redemption for Utah storyline if they make it.
Yeah, no, exactly. So I think this is a very good sign for college esports. Well, that's going to be it for that conversation. I agree that it is going to take a lot more in terms of consolidating, get everything under one roof, because that's going to make it easier for the consumer, for the fans, to be able to actually watch the dang on esports. But we're going to take a quick break. We're going to be right back talking about esports of traditional sports. Are those games being left behind when it comes to the college scene? We're going to have that and a lot more coming up on Checkpoint XP on Campus.
It's Women's History Month, so today we would like to ask the gamers of UNLV who their favorite female video game character is and why. Let's go. Joining me now is Lauren. So tell me, who is your favorite female video game character and why?
I'd have to say Katana from Mortal Kombat, because she's just a badass in every way.
Probably would have to be Asuka from Tekken 7.
And why is that?
I don't know. She personally reminds me a lot of my mom, and my mom inspires me a lot to do a lot of things, and I just always look up to her, you know?
My favorite female video game character is Isabel from Animal Crossing. She's a hard worker, she supports her people, and she supports the foreigner that comes into her town.
My favorite female video game character is Widowmaker from Overwatch, because I just love her character design and I love her attitude. I kind of like the evilness to her. She's so cool to me. And I love the sniper too. So yeah.
Probably be June Kazama from Tekken 2, because she was a mom to one of the greatest fighting characters, and then she said bye, and no one knows why, and that's why they kept going on with Tekken, and she's a good mom.
So my favorite video game character, or female video game character, is actually Zelda from Super Smash Bros. Melee, and it's because she can change from like being this like princess character to like being a character where she can like fight for herself. She can be like Sheik, and so like I guess it's like a female video game character. It's like good to have characters that can not just be like Princess Peach, where they're like, oh, I need to be saved all the time. Like they can fight for themselves, so that's pretty cool.
Happy Women's History Month.
Happy Women's History Month.
Happy Women's History Month. You're watching
Checkpoint XP on Campus.
You're watching Checkpoint XP on Campus.
You're watching Checkpoint XP on Campus.
Thanks to the students at UNLV for sharing your favorite female video game characters. On behalf of Checkpoint XP on Campus, Happy Women's History Month, everyone.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Checkpoint XP! Choose your character! A Thunder! Joe Sloan! Dory Howard! Bobby Landon!
Welcome back to Checkpoint XP on Campus, your number one resource for collegiate esports. Your host, Norris Howard, here, along with Jacob Brothers and Daniel Agbuya out in UNLV. But I want to make sure you guys slide on over to CheckpointXP.com and check out our wonderful shop, where we have really, really cool paraphernalia that you can pick up, all types of cool branded material from Checkpoint XP. And there's going to be more coming, so make sure you guys stay glued to that to see if there's going to be some new cool stuff in the shop that you're going to want to pick up. But we're going to shift gears. We're going to talk about right now traditional sports. And I know you're looking at me like I thought this was a video game show. But we're going to talk about esports versions of those sports and why it seems like they may be getting left behind a little bit in the college esports space. Now, we had a really great conversation during the break talking about how we much prefer to play like Mario Sonic Olympics as opposed to Madden, or, you know, Mario Tennis as opposed to, I don't know, what Virtual Tennis was like 25 years old, so nobody plays that anymore. But guys, I'm not seeing a lot of Madden or FIFA or, you know, NHL tournaments for the college scene. You know, what's going on with that? Why do you guys think that is?
Well, you want to start off with this one?
Yeah, I think there's a couple of stereotypes kind of at play here, I feel like. Because when you think of, like, the people who play 2K and the people who play Madden, the people who play NHL aren't, like, the same people who play Overwatch and the same people who play League. Mm-hmm. Obviously, that is a stereotype. But I feel like there is some truth to that occasionally, where, like, the people who are playing these games aren't interested in playing in esports. And I feel like a lot of these developers aren't putting the esports effort into their games.
I think that's a big part.
They're going for the casuals. They're going for the, hey, buy this haircut to play in the outdoor basketball court. I don't play 2K. And then another thing, like, for me, when I think about this is, because there's always that joke of, like, why play a sports video game when you can go out and play it? Mm-hmm. I think that does kind of apply in this situation. Because it's like, why would I watch someone play the football video game when I could watch the actual football game? Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like it doesn't really serve a benefit of watching someone play a sport video game.
And to flip it around, like, let's take about the people who watch actual, you know, other esports. Why would someone who, you know, watches League of Legends or Overwatch suddenly go around and play, you know what, I'm going to play this, I'm going to watch this basketball game? They're not going to. They're not going to switch over because they want to, they're already used to, like, the fantastical, the over the top, and they don't want sports simulation.
Yeah, that's why in the break when we were talking about these great Mario sports games is that I feel like these sports games lend themselves better when they are a video game. Mm-hmm. Like, I want to hit the tennis ball and it light on fire. Like, I'm playing a video game, I want to be amused in that fantasy sense.
So what you're saying is you want NBA Jam to be an esports.
That would be electric. Or there could be the Madden esport where someone makes the Lions good. That'd also be a good fantasy experience that we could go through. But yeah, I think a lot of it is just that it's not geared for this audience, and most people play it on their own, or they'll play against their friend one-on-one.
Do you think the actual, like, games themselves are an issue here?
No, because they find moderate success in the pro scene with the, was it NFL Madden Club and the NBA 2K League. Mm-hmm. Like, the 2K League has $1 million prize pool. Mm-hmm. Like, people are playing it, but it's just not interesting for college students.
Hmm. Okay.
Yeah, and there's a comment from Albert Lee. He's the director of Grand Canyon University, and he says that he thinks the publishers aren't fully invested in their game at the esports level. And I think that's sort of a... It's a half-truth, because as you illustrated, Madden Club and 2K League are incredibly well-supported by not only the developer, but also the NFL and the NBA, respectively. So there is a lot of investment into those esports, but they're just not to the level of, you know, your League of Legends or Overwatch when it comes to getting the professional scene to spread into a Tier 2 or Tier 3 sort of setup. I want to pose a question to you guys. Also, do you think that there is a massive issue with the fact that a lot of sports games do not have full collegiate licensing rights? Because you don't have a NCAA football game. You don't have a NCAA basketball game like you used to have in the 2000s. They're kind of lumped into 2K or kind of lumped into Madden, but they're not standalone games because there's no players association at the college level. You can't play as your favorite college player. You have to play as, like, roster guard 32 or LB number 99, like that. It's not personal. It doesn't connect people. Do you think that that's a major factor as to why college students haven't necessarily latched on to these sports games?
I also do think that if they were to come back, it would add a surge, but it won't, like, just completely turn the tide.
Well, I think it's weird that we haven't got to that point yet, now that 2K is so popular. But, I mean, I'm sure there's a lot of logistic issues that we don't think of with those games coming out. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, people like college just like they like NBA. So I feel like if there's a college game, it'll be played by the same people. But I think it'll have that same problem of this is a real-life game. It has microtransactions. I play this one game against one person. Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. So that's going to be it for that conversation. If you guys want to give your opinion as to why college esports have not necessarily embraced sports simulation games, hit us up on Twitter, CheckpointXP. Send us DMs. Yell at us if you disagree. But I think it's a really interesting conversation, and we would love your opinion on it. But coming up next, we are going to talk about International Women's Day. We're going to talk about who are some of your favorite female characters in all of video games in celebration of Women's History Month. So make sure you guys stick around for that, because we're going to have more coming up on this Checkpoint XP on campus.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Hey, what's up? It's Weird Beard, and this is your CSL Power Rankings for the week of March 2nd. Canadian schools have taken four ranks in the rankings. Toronto, British Columbia, Carleton, and Alberta. Current champions, the Rochester Institute of Technology, were defeated by former champions UBC in the upper bracket for the round of 32. In the upper bracket for the round of 16, UBC was then beaten by Rutgers. Second and third place last year, University of Illinois at Chicago and Stony Brook University respectively are still in the upper bracket. Currently, UIC is in the round of 8, and SBU is in the round of 16. Let's check out the rankings, as well as this funny moment from the Stony Brook versus Illinois at Chicago, when the Dire team doesn't realize they are taking Roshan, even though they're right next to the pit.
Oh,
he 100% knows. He doesn't know.
He doesn't know.
He doesn't know. The arrow goes in. Now he knows.
No, he doesn't check.
He doesn't know. Ricky, he doesn't need both the presence of the Dark Lord.
This, the slam.
They actually just died.
Got it.
Just...
Oh,
yes.
My.
In League of Legends, after the fall of Harrisburg and UBC, Columbia College claims the top spot in our power rankings. Will they fall like Harrisburg and British Columbia before them? Or do they have the strength to go all the way and win the playoffs? Time is the only thing that'll tell. Delaware managed to take down UBC in an exciting 2-1 series. Next up, they'll be facing either RIT or MSU, another tough challenger. UIC have taken down opponents such as Johns Hopkins and UC Berkeley. Their road doesn't get any easier, as they'll be up against USC or the University of Texas at Austin, but UIUC have proven themselves capable to overcome a challenge. Let's check out this week's brand new rankings with those new teams.
Absolutely beautiful there from Zera on Jarvan. He was able to get that double knockup, forcing the summoners and straight into a lockdown with the Cataclysm. Nothing available for the side of ETS, and really you just gotta keep commending him on that one, getting that additional turret plating for himself. You deserved it, buddy.
As always with CSGO, some matches remain unreported as of this ranking. Kansas State University takes the place of University of Washington after they fell 0-2 to University of Minnesota. Twin Cities University of British Columbia and Carleton University remain static on the ranking despite their losses due to record differences between their opponents. Let's find out those last power rankings for CSGO.
I'm up towards lane. It's going to be a difficult hole here. Azarva trying to muster something here. Destin is in the back of the site here. Destin going out of Mikosi. Good Smoke's got one. What? A second as well. He's won it for them. Six bullets in the mag.
No
and he gets the triple Kosi. What is that? A push through the smoke is warranted.
That's it for this week's Power Rankings. You want to stay up to date on everything that's happening in the world of collegiate esports? Head on over to our website and stay in the loop at CheckpointXP.com.
Welcome back to Checkpoint XP on Campus, your number one resource for collegiate esports in the world beyond. We like to do something a little fun at the end of the show. So we're going to bring back one of our favorite segments, Mount Rushmore. And joining us for this iteration of Mount Rushmore is Diane Mercado and Izzy Vega. These guys help out behind the scenes on Checkpoint XP on Campus. You've seen Diane before. You've seen Izzy before. Welcome them back to the show because they're going to talk about their favorite female video game characters ever of all time. And we are doing this in celebration of Women's Month. So, Diane, take it away.
It's all yours, Diane.
Well, my pick is Street Fighter's Chun-Li.
The first lady of video games.
Yeah. So she was obviously the very first female fighter in a fighting video game. And also, as an Asian woman myself, there are not a lot of prominent Asian, let alone women, figures that I could look up to growing up that looked like me. And so, I mean, on this table today, I am the only female representation. And so, I mean, Chun-Li really just inspires me to be a new voice for my demographic so that little girls can say, hey, she's just like me. I could do that too.
Well, that's a great pick, Diane, but the winning pick is going to be Commander Shepard of the Mass Effect series, aka FemShep. My Shepard is always going to be female, and I will argue with anyone otherwise. The reason why this one's so important is because it gave us the choice to really create a character that we want to see. So, you know, when I first started Mass Effect, I went with FemShep because it was something different. It was something I haven't seen before, and the stories I got to create with this character, and, you know, also beautifully well acted by the one and only Jennifer Hale. Fantastic job with that voice acting. And so, it's, I think the reason why FemShep is in here is because it gave people a chance to really tell a story that isn't told very often.
Yeah, that's a pick you can make, Daniel. Now, the proper pick is World of Warcraft Queen We Stan, Jaina Proudmoore.
Oh, boy.
I love Jaina. She is my hero. Heroes of the Storm was the game that got me into MOBAs and one of my favorite games ever, and I got into the game because of her. So I became really attached to her because I was like, oh, this character's really fun. I'm going to play as only this character for a year and then try the other characters. So she's strong, independent, cold, she has water elementals, she is sick, and I love her very much.
Alright, so I really like the horror genre, and I like badass female leads, so like Ripley and Alien, right? But when it comes to video games, you have Jill Valentine, one of the original leading ladies of not only the franchise, but horror games in general. And also shout outs to Ada Wong and Shiva Alomar.
Okay. All right, guys. Those are some really awesome picks. First of all, you guys know that I gotta rock with Diane on this one because I mean, everybody's answer should have been Chun-Li, but whatever. That's just my personal bias showing. But that's gonna be it from today's Checkpoint XP on Campus. I want to thank everybody out there at UNLV who help out with the show, and a special thanks to Izzy and Diane for joining us for the Mount Rushmore segment. Make sure you guys shoot them a follow on any social medias that you see. They're always interacting with Checkpoint XP, so make sure you say hey to them as well. Also, we want to thank everybody helping out here at the Detroit Studios. Our executive producer, I gave him a new title, our executive producer, Weird Beard, he's always helping out here in the Detroit studio. And as well as you guys for watching and listening to the show. Thank you so, so much. So we hope and demand that you return next week for more Checkpoint XP on Campus. Happy International Women's Day.
Take care of yourselves, guys.
Love you.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.